Well, amen. I don't think we lost too many. I want to go on and make it a, don't want you panicking and don't want you celebrating, okay? For the next 2 weeks, Rose and I will not be with you. No, we're not going to talk to another church or anything. We're going. I want you to pray for us. Next Sunday, we'll be going to do something we've done for 50-plus years. I know that Rose, that I don't look that old, but and nor does Rose, but we have. And she's not that old. I didn't say that in the pulpit. That's on tape. I deny it. And, we're going to the beach with my family. We've gone to the same place for 50-plus years, and then we come back that, I think, the 15th, and then we leave on the 16th. We're going to be leaving the country. I just hope she lets me come back. If I don't make it back, Rose stole my passport, okay? She's never been out of the country, have you? Well... Now, honey, when I say country, that means United States, okay? I'm sorry. 34 years tomorrow, I had the privilege to fight her father and walk down the aisle. I didn't walk down the aisle. I just came out, didn't I? To watch her walk down the aisle at her home church and to take her as my bride. And I'm proud today to say that... She's still the love of my life, my earthly life. Jesus is the love of my main life, but she's right there with it. And so I just praise God for her. And I know what you're thinking. I told him in Sunday school, you know, under North Carolina law, for first-degree murder, you might not get 34 years. What did she do? If y'all find out, tell me, will you? Well... Let's pray together a moment. Father, we come to an intensely, every message is serious, but Lord, we come to an intensely serious one about our nation. And I just pray that you'll give me the courage to speak the words that you put upon my heart. You'll give us ears to hear, that we won't be discouraged, but that we'll be enlightened and encouraged. And I do so in Jesus' name. 2,500 years ago, amen, 2,500 years ago, the prophet Jeremiah was given a message by God for his nation that was ominous and hard, that nobody really wanted to hear. If you leave her, I'll put her to sleep in 2 minutes, I promise. It is not a problem. Isn't she pretty? Look at that. That's just pretty. I don't care what you say. Both of them together. Praise God. Well, Jeremiah loved the Lord. And he loved his nation. But God gave him a message about steps that they were taking in the wrong direction. This morning, the Lord's asked me to bring a message about our nation where we're taking steps in the wrong direction. And like Jeremiah, I love my nation, and I want you to know that God was saddened in his day at what was taking place among his people. And I believe that God is saddened today when he looks at our country. In a message entitled, Broken Cisterns, I want you to turn with me just so that you see the heart of Jeremiah and that you might sense my heart this morning. We're going to read some other passages in Jeremiah, but if you'll turn to Jeremiah 8, I'm not going to ask you to stand right now. We're going to come back and stand in just a moment, but I want to read this passage just as an introduction before we get really into the message, where you have an idea of the heart of this man. In Jeremiah 8, beginning at the 18th verse, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Jeremiah says these words. He says, "My sorrow is beyond healing." He said, "I'm sad to the point that I'll never be well." He says, "My heart is faint within me. Behold, listen, the cry of the daughter of my people from a distant land. Is the Lord not in Zion?" That's meaning, is the Lord not in Jerusalem, in the temple? Is her king not within her? "Why have they provoked me?" And the "me" here means God. "With their graven images and their foreign idols." And Jeremiah says, "Harvest is past and summer is ended, and we're not saved. For the brokenness of the daughter of my people, I'm broken." Jeremiah says, "My nation is broken, and I'm broken. I mourn. Dismay has taken hold of me." He asked that question, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of the daughter of my people not been restored?" And then in verse 9, he says, "Oh, that my head were waters, and that my eyes were rivers of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." May God bless the reading of that word. Folks, before we jump into the heart of what Jeremiah said, he's talking about something that's coming, not something that's already happened. God has told him that because of the abandonment of the nation, God's going to bring His judgment upon them. And the Babylonians, who were never a great nation, suddenly are rising up under Nebuchadnezzar, as we're studying on Sunday nights, and Babylon is becoming a nation that will march into Jerusalem and will slay its people and destroy its temple. And in the book of Ezekiel, it tells us before Nebuchadnezzar got there, God packed up and left. Jeremiah 2, verses 11 through 13. I want you to stand with me, if you will, as we read and we get into the heart of the message. But in these other passages, you'll begin to understand. You'll understand that when Jeremiah says these words, how broken his heart was when he said it. Jeremiah 2, beginning at verse 1, and then we're going to jump to verses 11 through 13. Jeremiah, prophet of God, says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying," and listen what he says in verses 11 through 13. Other words he said through there you might read at some point. He says, "Has a nation changed gods to when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder, be very desolate, declares the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew out for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that hold no water." You may be seated. In verses 11 through 13, Jeremiah reveals four ways that they have changed their heart toward God. As we begin to see, they have rejected God as the source of their power, of their provision, and of their hope. These four steps away from God are taking place in America today. And so I want us to see a very strong parallel, for just as God had loved and chosen and blessed the people of Jerusalem and Judah, God has blessed, chosen America. But God's favor is getting ready to change. The first thing we see is that they forgot God and all that He had done for them. In chapter 2, we look at verses 4 through 7. "Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and the families of the house of Israel. What injustice did your fathers find in me?" Jeremiah is talking about, what did I do wrong that suddenly you don't think I'm worthy to be your God? That they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty. They did not say, "Where is the Lord? Where is the Lord who brought us out of the land of Egypt? Where is the Lord who led us through the wilderness? Where is the Lord who led us through the land of deserts and pits, through the land of drought and deep and darkness, through a land no one crossed and where no one dwells? I brought you," God says in verse 7, "into a fruitful land to eat its fruits and its good things, but you came and defiled my land." Jeremiah, first of all, raises the question, they've forgotten God. God asked them, he said, "Don't you remember that I rescued you from Egyptian bondage? I brought you through great difficulty to a land filled with promise. And we made with Moses a covenant, and the covenant was this: if you will be my people and follow my ways, I will be your God and you will be blessed forever. But if you forget me, I will turn against you." The first commandment says that we are to love God, that God is to be first place. In fact, I want to read to you from the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. God speaking to them as He's laying out His law, His expectations. He said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or a likeness of what is in heavens above the earth or beneath the earth or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, 1/3 and to the 4th generation, to those that hate me." God says, "Look, when I bring my judgment, the effect is not only going to be upon the people that get it, it's going to go further. There are consequences." If you were to go back to that second chapter, Jeremiah asked in verse 11, has my nation changed its God to those that were no God? Israel had done just that. They'd forgotten God. And they began the steady slide downward toward other gods. America's done some of the same thing. It's not just the fact that we don't have prayer in the schools, but you can pray in the schools. You can't have an official prayer. I pray all the time. When I worked in the school system for 3 years, I had my kids pray. I dared the anti-Christian lawyers to come union to come find me. That's the ACLU for some of you who don't know what that means. You can pray. It's not that. It's the silence and the change of God's people. Listen to somebody who said that we've grown in numbers, we've grown in wealth, and we've grown in power as no nation has ever grown. God rescued us from the hand of an oppressive king in England. We vainly imagined in deceitfulness our own hearts that our blessings came not because of God, but because of who we are. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become self-sufficient, too proud to pray to the God that made us. And His name was Abraham Lincoln. Ladies and gentlemen, when the President of the United States of America says that the nation is forgetting God, we're in trouble. I'm not talking about Kennedy or Eisenhower or George W. or Barack. I'm talking about Abraham Lincoln. It had already begun sliding away. When a nation begins to forget God, it's because they have new gods. And we see what they did. The next step for Israel was idolatry. If you remember what he said, what did he say? He says, "You've changed gods to that which is not gods, and my people had changed their glory." The Scripture teaches us that they began to move in the wrong ways. Israel, who had God. If you got the God Jehovah, why do you need anybody else? But listen to what it says about them. Verse 30, "For the sons of Judah have done evil in my sight, declares the Lord. They have set up detestable things in my house, which is called by my name. they had gone so far that they brought into the house of the Lord, into the temple, idols. They brought idols, foreign idols. See, the people around them didn't believe in their Jehovah God, so they said, well, you know, my religion's kind of hard, my faith's kind of hard, but I kind of like theirs, because they get to worship this statue or this whatever they want to, and they get to live however they want to. I kind of like that. Idolatry. Folks, America's the same way. We strut around the world as the most powerful nation on earth, acting like we did it all. We act in pride and in arrogance at times. Yes, we're a good nation. Yes, we're a fine nation. But folks, let me tell you, we walk around acting like everything we have, we did. That's the American dream, isn't it? To rise up from your bootstraps and be all you can be. It absolutely amazes me. And I'm just amazed of people that are blessed of God. They have good jobs and homes and work and things. And yet, when it comes to the church house on Sunday or Sunday night or Wednesday, bless God, Wednesday night or something like that, they forget all about Him. And you ask them, how did you get this? I worked hard for it. I begged a differ. The Scripture teaches that everything you have comes from the Lord. He gave you that ability to work. He gave you the ability to have what you have. Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before the fall. I told the folks last Sunday night, and some of you need to come and hear this on Sunday night. We won't be doing it this Sunday night. If you study the book of Ezekiel, and you study the book of Daniel, and you study the book of Revelation, America is not on the scene as a world power when we get to the end times. We're no longer a major player. You hear of the bear. You hear of others. The bear meaning Russia. You hear of the yellow people meaning China. You hear of the former Roman Empire. But you never hear about the great eagle. He's not there. Jeremiah saw it happening and we see it happening. America's forgotten God and we've become so proud and said, look at what we've done. Not what God's done for us. Two steps and a third coming. Moral and spiritual failure. You would think a nation that had been through all that they've been through, that they wouldn't be that way. In Jeremiah 6 it says, from the least of them to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. Everybody is dealing falsely and they're ashamed. Listen to what Jeremiah says about his nation. He says, folks, it got to the point that they weren't ashamed. Now, I want to ask you something this morning. When's the last time something came on TV or flashed across the screen or you saw it in a magazine or somebody told it and you blushed? Listen, folks, I've seen stuff I wish I'd never seen. They were a nation that had become so hard to all of the nastiness around them, it says they don't even know how to blush. In the 1960s, it says that things came out of the closet. They did. And the Christians went back in it. In Jeremiah's day, it was sexual sin. It was mistreatment of the poor. We find that they begin to do something. They begin to oppress their children. I want you to understand something. A nation that allows its children to be abused and to be used wrongly is a nation in danger. In their day, what they started doing is mothers and fathers decided, well, you know, I don't want this little girl because little girls weren't worth much. Ladies, that ought to make you feel good. Or I don't want this little boy. He's not perfect. So I'm going to go and sacrifice him to the god of Molech. And they would take their children. I'm talking about the people of God. Would take their children and throw them into the fire and sacrifice them. In America, we do some of the same thing. We do some of the same thing, folks. You may not know this, but we are the largest producer, disseminator, and user of pornography in the world. One of the saddest things I ever heard one of the greatest uses in hotels of pornography. You want to know when it is? During religious conventions. When the Baptists and the Presbyterians and the Methodists and the Episcopalians and all those groups are getting together and we're coming together to talk about the work of the Lord, we're sitting in front of the TV late at night in our hotel room watching stuff we wouldn't watch at home. The largest disseminator in the world. Abortion. You don't want a child nowadays, you don't sacrifice them to the god of Molech. You just decide, I'm not going to have it. Well, that's a woman's choice. That's a man's choice. Yes, it is. You have a choice. And so did they. Marriage. We're in the process of redefining marriage. You want to know why? Because it's the way we want it. And Jeremiah's day is the same way. Ladies, I want my ladies to stand up a minute. I want to look at your faces. Even my girls, stand up. I got to make sure you're awake. We're getting quickly to the end. Ladies, in those days, how many of you have ever made biscuits? Never, don't raise your hand because we don't want to remember that. Listen, this woman can cook now, okay? You ever made biscuits? Raise your hand. Do you know that if you burned the biscuits in those days that they could give you a bill of divorce? Now, you think I'm crazy. In those days, if you burned his meal, your husband could go to the priest and write you a bill of divorce because he really had his eye on Susie down the street. You may be seated. It's about the same way today. I'm so proud of couples that have been married long term. Rose and I have made it 34 years. Has it always been easy? I don't know. She likes to play that song every once in a while on our anniversary. And she just listens to it. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, your husband's going to be a pain a lot of the time. Amen. You know what was also true in Jeremiah's day? The spiritual leaders of the day, the preachers of the day, we're telling everybody everything's going to be fine. It's all good. Listen, folks, the largest church in America, and some of you probably watch him and some of you probably like him, and that's okay. I like him. He's good looking and his wife's good looking. He happens to be in Houston, Texas. If you know who I'm talking about, I'm not going to say his name. But I'm going to tell you this. All he ever tells you is how wonderful things are. And how good it's going to be. And folks, I like positive, uplifting messages. I do. I want to feel good. Somebody asked this young preacher one time, said, why don't you ever talk about sin or about the fact that people need to come out of their sin and we need to, what about our national sins? He said, that's not on my preaching agenda. In Jeremiah's day, they were doing the same thing. Jeremiah is given this awful message by God and God says, Jeremiah, I want you to go tell them exactly what's wrong. Nowadays, if you talk about the blood or you preach about sin, you're being a narrow-minded fundamentalist and they'll tell you that you're a bigot. You tell people that the Bible says that there's one way to the Father and that's through the Son and they go, oh, you can't do that. The fourth step was spiritual and moral decay. Dr. Carl Zimmerman did a study. He said the destruction of every nation has come with these factors. Number one, an increase in divorce. Number two, reckless parenthood and disrespect for parents. Three, rampant adultery. Four, the rapid rise of juvenile delinquency. Five, sexual perversion. He studied every major civilization on earth that used to be. Where are the Babylonians? Where are the Egyptians? Where are the Greeks? Where are the Romans? They're a shadow of what they used to be. Why? Because they took the same steps Judah and we're taking. Moral and spiritual depravity. And the last thing of the four, they ignored God's warnings. God sent them Malachi. And Habakkuk, and Zechariah, and Daniel, and Ezekiel, and Jeremiah, and Isaiah. And he said, listen up, folks. I love you. I'm the God who saved you. I'm the God that loves you. But I'm not the God who's going to let you do what you want to do. Nowadays, messages like I'm preaching today aren't very popular. And I have folks from time to time when I get through preaching one say, well, preacher, you know, that God of the Old Testament was a mean God, but the God of the New Testament's a very forgiving, loving God. Well, I want you to understand that the book of Malachi, God says, I do not change. In the book of Revelation, Jesus said, I was there in the beginning, I'm there in the end. That means He's been the same all the way through. Folks, if God judged Israel and Judah, can He do any less to us? That's the bad news. Quickly, I'm going to give you the good news. What can we do? We can pray. How should we pray? We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for forgiveness. I want you to hear very quickly as I read a prayer that was offered in 1996, in the Kansas State Senate by a pastor. It made some people so mad they got mad. Some of them stomped out. The national media attacked him. Listen to what he prayed. Heavenly Father, we come to You today and we need to pray this way. Ask Your forgiveness, to seek Your direction and Your guidance. We know that Your Word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we've done. We ridicule the truth of Your Word so that we could water it down. We've endorsed perversion and called it alternate lifestyle. We've exploited the poor by offering them something called the lottery. We've rewarded laziness, but we only call it welfare. We've killed our unborn children because we wanted a choice. We've shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We've neglected to build discipline into our children because we don't want to hurt their feelings, and we call it building self-esteem. We've abused power and called it politics. We've coveted our neighbor's possessions and we call it ambition. We've polluted our air with profanity, pornography, and we call it freedom of the press. We've ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers. Forgive us, O Lord. We come to You in repentance. In the name of the living Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. As he began to pray this prayer, people got up and walked out. The national media ridiculed him as a bigot and a fundamentalist because he had the guts to tell the truth. What do? We pray. We pray for our nation and then we stand up. I'm not talking about going out there and protesting. I'm just talking about let's be what God called us to be. Salt and light. Salt in Jesus' day was to help preserve and to stop rotting. Light was to show them the true way of Christ. Listen to what Martin Niemöller said, because you know what really is the option for most of us? We just want to remain silent. Martin Niemöller was a Christian in Nazi Germany during the rise of the Third Reich. Listen to what he said. He said, first they came for the communist, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the Jews, and I didn't speak up because I wasn't a Jew. Then they came for the Catholics, and I didn't speak up because I was a Protestant Christian. And then they came for me, and there was nobody to speak up anymore. Folks, four steps toward broken systems. We have the opportunity to make a difference. We're going to close in just a moment a little differently. I want you to stand with me, if you will, right now. And I want you to join me in praying for our nation. If you'll bow with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that this nation which has forgotten You, which so many, even Your churches, have forgotten the blessings and the things You've done for us, that we'll turn back to You and that we'll say, Lord, we're sorry. Lord, I pray that as we've made self-sufficiency and being the best we can be our idolatry, instead of asking You to bless us, we're trying to create our blessings. I pray that we'll turn. Lord, I pray where we have failed You morally and spiritually, where we've gotten in as Christians into all kind of sexual sins, and where our pulpits have become silent on the Word of the Lord, where we pick and choose that which sounds good, not that which might offend, I pray. God, where we continue to ignore Your warnings, where You said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if I shut up the heavens and there is no rain, if I send pestilence upon the earth, and if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray and seek My face, I'll heal their land. God, in the West, our nation burns. Wildfires brought about by nature You created. And we wonder. In Florida, people drown and lose everything, not because You stopped the heavens, but You opened them up. God, I pray for America. As the storm clouds gather everywhere we see, let us call upon You, our Father, to keep our land free. As we bow together in unified care, let us lift our voices in a solemn prayer. God, heal America, land that I love. Stand beside her. Guide her with the light from the night up above. O Lord, heal us from the mountains to the prairies, to the oceans white with foam. God, heal our nation, America, my home sweet home. Amen. I'm going to ask you to remain standing. We're not hopeless. We're just taking steps. And you know those steps that you take down, you can take back the other way. And that's what God's calling us to do. To remind us how wonderful our nation is. One of our little ones. Now she's not a child, but she's going to come and bless us in closing. We're not going to have our invitation. If you have a decision you need to make, I'll be happy to share that with you privately. But today, Kelson's going to close with us with words that I'm proud she knows and that ring in our heart. You just listen and enjoy.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early
Thank you.
we go from this place. We go as Americans who have hope. You can heal our land. We can be a people not proud of ourselves, but of what you've done for us. Lord, lead us back and start right here at Holloway's. Help us to pray for our nation, to love our nation, and help us as we go out this week into a world and into a nation that celebrates a birthday. And let us show people the right way to live. Not the perfect way, the right way. And let us show them that it's not by our power or by our strength, but by you, O Lord. And so, Father, as we close, as we'll gather again tonight, and we'll look at three of your children who, in the midst of a nation that was decaying, stood firm for their God, may we do the same. Amen and amen.